entering the DGTC.
Are you ready for a deep dive?
And Jordan did most of the crap.
Can't believe I said that.
I've been doing this in 2008. What the fuck do I know?
Drawing hands is my kryptonite.
Dark loading up elbow logos.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the DGDC, a united team of design professionals, creatively bound to bring unique inspiration and uncommon perspectives. You can email us listener questions or topic ideas to hello@dgdcpod.com or check out our website, dgdcpod.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram or Twitter at dgdcpod. Plus now you can join in on the conversation. We have a Facebook group. Just pop onto our website and hit the community tab at the top. Now, on with the show. What's up, everybody? We are back for a fun little episode here. And little spoiler, we are being led by our friends at ChatGPT on this one. So we'll get into that in a little bit. We're going to do some Q&A that ChatGPT did for us, but maybe a good time to do a fun little check-in on how everybody's doing. And it's been a while. How's summer going, guys? Doing well?
It's good, man. It's so hot everywhere. So I'm just
it's
not
been
made
hot
for anything
down in Portland,
over...
though. You guys are. It's just an advantage that we're near the water, the Puget Sound up here. Otherwise,
yeah,
we would probably
being by the water is like crucial for the future of humanity. But yeah, it's been brutal, man. Like I get complaining anything over like 75, 80, I'm like, I just hate it.
Don't ever come here.
So you started hitting this 105s, and I'm just like, how do people survive?
I know.
It's so messy.
I know. It is messy. It's hard to be productive, and I can't stand the AC. I don't like the air.
Same here. I hate artificial cooling or heating. Like it's,
dude,
but
I've
it's
been
a
sucking
necessity.
It in, man.
It's a necessity.
Yeah, I have to
well,
have
you,
it.
I mean, it's a, it becomes a must. I get it, Jordan, but
yeah,
that's funny. That's a true native Oregon resident.
Yeah, dude, I want the gloom. I want the cold.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I'm just thankful it's not the humid heat. When I'm seeing what a lot of people at East Coast are getting.
Yeah, it could be worse.
Like one thing is we never have like the humid heat during summer in LA, but this is literally on par with just typically any other July, August where it's like, it's airs on and it's about 105 outside and at least it's dry. But
yeah,
I remember our June was horrible. We have June gloom for like 30 straight days. It was just,
oh really?
Where you were in Seattle. It was just gray.
Yeah, I'm like, that's cute, man. That's cute.
That's
so
funny.
Portland's like 5 months. Seattle's
so,
the same.
Yeah. So they hear us because we sit there for a month going, please bring the summer weather. We're ready. And then you get 2 days of it and you're like, I'm done.
Yeah, or it's just a massive tease and then it rains and then you're like, well, where did summer go? I thought we were starting.
There you go. That's so true. Yeah. That's so true. How's business work keeping the balance alive?
I'm not doing a good job at that.
We can all, let's all raise our hand. And yeah, I totally agree too. I don't feel like it's been smooth.
No, it's chaotic. Feels busy. You know, when you have to table and partition your tasks and prioritize.
Yeah.
And everything feels like it should be at the top of the list. That makes it difficult.
Yeah.
But the only way it's really a reminder that we're having summer is because of the warmth. I mean, it's so busy. It's so busy. Mm.
Yeah. It does feel like a particularly busier summer than usual. But, and maybe it's just because, like, it feels like just even the tail end of COVID, even though it's been about a year, but I feel like people are starting to like really ramp stuff up.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's stuff going down, which is great.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been busy. Yeah,
I'm really thankful for that too. It's always like a good feeling.
Me too.
You go, especially when there's been a few summers that feel a little bit of a lull and there's a little bit of.
Yeah, there can be.
Because the world
people
goes back to like.
Leaving on vacation.
Exactly. You know, and it feels like this is the first real summer in quite a while. So it's kind of like everybody, I know most of my clients who are still vacationing are checking in. Like everyone's doing that balance of like, especially business owners. You know, can you really break away? And that's the one thing I was talking with someone the other day. I was like, wow, isn't it funny as a freelancer, you're afraid to leave because you don't really have, most people don't have the backup unless you have a good friend or a colleague that can do that. And then even if you're a full timer with layoffs and everything else, it's like people are so afraid to take the week off, you know, and feel like, oh, how are they going to do without me? You know, or like, and it's such a fearful thing to break away, isn't it?
It is. It, you panic internally. Mm-hmm. We left for Mexico at the mid part of June. Mm-hmm. And I was the idiot that mistakenly left my MacBook behind at TSA. Because I'm talking with this like gorgeous couple. They're lovely. We're talking. No. I'm in that vacation mode already.
I'd love to
and
see that.
I just take off. I just take off to meet my family that has reservations in save your spot type of thing with a Port of Seattle, which makes it go a little bit quicker than standing in those massive lines. And I don't recognize that I had left my device behind until we're well in the air and you can break out your devices and start to plug in the cabin.
Oh my God.
And I'm not sure whether to start cracking up or to bawl into tears. I look over at Jason. I'm like, I know exactly where I left it. I don't know what to do because, you know, in a perfect world, people are on it. They ship FedEx. You pay the hundreds, whatever it takes, because you've got deliverables. I'd let my accounts know, depending on the client, intermittently available. Well, I figure out really quickly how to solely depend on the project management apps that are installed to my iPhone, right?
Interesting.
And I do have designated team members that support my business, that we collab regularly together, where I'm just having to admit heavily, need you. And typically, we're not in that type of position. That was very, very obvious about how you work your business on a day to day and how much is solely on you that you just work out. So,
Did you get it back?
Yeah, exactly.
I did. They have a lost and found system that ended up luckily working out for me. And I had to physically go back to the terminal and get and pick it up and show my ID. And you have to show that you can input your password in front of three separate faces that work there. Yeah.
Damn.
Because so many people are figuring out how to hack and obtain devices on their own.
Totally.
And what an opportunity if you just start have your eyes on TSA.
Yeah. Wow.
And if you're one of those people.
Oh my God. Yeah. I've left a phone. I've left an iPod. I remember that drove me nuts. And that's nothing compared to your laptop. Like, now that's making me not want to take it on vacation.
So really, I'm going to have this impact me as a mom and as a person amidst this beautiful paradise vacation. And then you're grappling with the reality of that, and who you are as a person. I mean, I need therapy because
Question.
Of that whole thing
did,
that went down.
Did you know it was found while you were on vacation? Were you?
Not till the very end.
They
called at the very end.
Oh,
damn.
I hope you made the best of it though. So.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it was a great experience, but I do admit it could have been better had my head not been swimming about this.
If you knew it was, if it was like, we have it, Mikkel, it's locked away. We'll
Which
see.
Which I hate. I hate the reality of that, but it is, you know.
You have a wonderful trip. It'll be here waiting for you. That's what you want.
It would have been so nice. It would have been so nice.
Oh my gosh.
If that had been locked in. I'm so sorry that I digress.
I'm glad you mentioned it. Cause I'm considering not taking my laptop on vacation. And I think that's the way to do it. Like if you can, and you do I'm not saying I'm going to leave everybody high and dry. I've been putting everything into place to allow for that. But
that way, if it's not an option, there's a nice happy medium to being in that headspace while you're away.
Yeah. And it's also a part of your, just like the phone is, it's part of your like, oh, I'm bored in the hotel room for a second or whatever it might be. Let me fire up or whatever. No, you're on. It's like experience. Go do the things. And so I think you've just made my decision for me. So I'm excited.
Well, that will be intentional, which is far better for you.
Totally.
That's great.
And and then you worry about it too. Like, you know, you keep it in maybe the safe in the hotel room and everything. Uh-huh. And did I leave it out?
I do that. Yeah.
Yeah. So. I guess the best thing is just don't take it.
You know, everything. Otherwise, all the blame goes to housekeeping and they're all thieves.
Exactly. Oh my God. I'm glad. I'm so glad you got it back though. Oh, I can't.
Even. Oh yeah. I know. Thank you. Thank you. What a
craziness. Debacle. Craziness. Well, we've got a fun little topic here. What we're going to do. We were thinking of some ideas a couple days ago. And one of the things I thought of was I was seeing some of these people, particularly YouTubers, doing this like, hey, let's let ChatGPT guide us on a mission or something. And I'm
it's
like,
everywhere now. I mean,
why don't we? And we haven't really talked much about the ChatGPT AI kind of world, but we thought it would be fun to like take a break and allow it to come up with some questions. And basically what I said was, I'm like, we are the host of a podcast. We talk about graphic design. We've covered just about every topic twice. And what can we do as a Q&A? And it came back with some of the best questions.
They're pretty good, dude.
This is like listener question on steroids, right? It's so of the moment, and it's so like perfect, like
where we're at now,
and stuff that I think we all keep in the back of our mind, but like, are we talking about it up front? Right? It's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
completely, this is great, Nick.
Kind of cool to see how far it has come in just a few months. I use it a lot, particularly to help me with any copywriting or even just do some like quick kind of sprints when it's coming to like, I need this quickly, or what's a better way to say this. A lot of times I've been doing that, and it's like having a little like copywriting coach by your side.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. Here is question number one. Should graphic designers prioritize artistic expression or commercial viability in their work? How can they strive a balance between the two? And this is a great question for graphic designers. I think fine artists, obviously, there's no question. You're doing your artistic expression.
Artistic expression with right? that.
But should we even, I guess the question really even like provokes the idea of, should we even be trying to balance this or not?
Altogether.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we are commercial. Like, we are commercial
artists. That's what I mean. It's like, oh, easy. Commercial viability. Next question.
Yeah. You
know, like, uh-huh.
But,
yeah.
Done. But it's too cut and dry.
No, of course, right?
Yeah.
Like, but then you get into like the subjective territory, right? Where like we all kind of dig into the distinction between what is art and graphic design and like how, like, because I feel like everyone has their own sort of definitions, right?
Yes.
And ultimately, like, I don't know. It's just like we're visual communicators. And like, and I think artists, you know, they create for the sake of expression and emotion, right?
Yeah.
It's like and so like it's just there's overlap in everything, but like I just think like it's commercial viability. If you're a working designer, it's like you're prioritize the client over personal artistic freedom. Like when I'm creating a brand for a business, one of the primary goals is like get personal preferences out of the equation. For me, for the client,
the logo
I'm making for that like new Italian restaurant, it's not a reflection of me as a person or an individual or like my human experience. It's like, no, it's a visual communication built on the purpose of like conveying that stuff to the client. It's practical. It's got function. It's purposeful. So I feel like, yeah, you have to lean into that. If you're sort of struggling to find the balance, like I would go that route, like the sellout route, whatever that we want to call it. Like, cause we're not really artists. We can be at times, but ultimately it's like, it's different.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. We have mentioned in former shows that we do consider ourselves creative artists, but I do see what you mean there relative to the subject matter here, because as creatives, well, and maybe all of us have, I've spoken about this, transitioned pretty successfully and true with the consultant role a bit more. Through and through. And so conceptual phasing, not as grotesque as it used to be for me on a personal level, a lot of work being absolutely production based, which is a concern relative to this matter altogether, like cranking out in seconds when I, you know, but, working with copywriters, this has been far efficient utilizing the system and pulling up research material quickly, even competitor analysis wise.
Mm-hmm.
Huge for that. But yeah, commercial viability is huge for us, I think. And I, that's the relatable
topic we strive here for, it.
For listeners, I would imagine. Yeah. Too. Like,
I think, don't you all, we strive for it. We ask that, like you said, Jordan, we ask our client to remove personal preference from there, right? And then sometimes, I'll be totally honest, I sometimes feel like my bias is so natural that I don't even realize, I think maybe my artistic expression is coming through based on what I like, what I taste, and maybe this is what makes us all so different. When we look at each other's work, I always love going like, oh, that's so freaking Jordan Wilson right there, you know, like, or whatever. Right? I think someone might say the same for maybe if you look at the collection of my work or Mikkel's work, right?
Totally.
I think there's an aesthetic that comes through naturally, but sure. I wish there was a way I can release some of my own biased in taste, right? Like how, like, I guess that's the question, because can we totally be disconnected and be so like, nope, it's coming right from the research and right from all of the data we've accumulated.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you can almost liken it to like a good actor, right? Where it's like, yes, they're invoking themselves in the role, but ultimately like they're sort of transposed through the role itself, right? Like, here's who you are. Here's your backstory. Here's why you exist, right? That's all I want when I develop a brand. It's like, why do we exist? And yeah, I think like the artistry is usually coming from like, it's curated taste. I think like we as designers like are surrounding ourselves all the time in this world. So like, I think we do develop like specific tastes. And I think ultimately like clients probably come to each of us for those tastes, the curation of our work, our body of work, I think ultimately has our thumbprint on it.
Yeah.
But I do think like when you do create these things, I just think it's still the sole purpose is it's a functional thing. Like to me, art, like I struggle with, I'm an artist sometimes, but like when I'm a designer, I'm a designer, right? Like when I create a piece of art, just like a drawing of something that just it's for the sole expression of, or the sake of just expression or emotion, right? And I think like design, it's like it's specific practical function, like beyond artistic value. You know, like design is primarily intended to serve a specific purpose, like conveying a message, promoting a product, solving a problem for the client. Like, whereas like if I'm just drawing a picture, it's different. I'm not influenced by these other parameters. We don't have a brief, we don't have a scope. So like that's where like they can overlap, but like that's why I think there also is like an artist and a designer. Yeah, okay. Like the roles are different. So when you are a designer, if we're talking through like the focus of a designer, it's like, yeah, commercial viability is how that's what it is. We're creating functional pieces of sometimes artwork, but usually like, you know, visual language, messaging, communication.
It has a purpose. It's hoping
it
to
make a soul,
It's hoping to strike
a chord.
It's
got objectives.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
I love to think too, this opens the question too for anyone that has a specific talent above and beyond just design, illustration, photography, copywriting, right? I think illustration is a perfect example of where your artistic expression can be a huge value and asset to you as a designer, because you could incorporate that into, let's say you're doing branding and packaging for somebody, and you can be the illustrator of the beautiful ornate graphics in the back or something fun. Like, I think that's cohesive. And I think that's like, it's coming from this, it's like, I'm like, I always say this of like car design. You look at a car that comes out and you're like, it looks like there's seven designers like on that car. Like someone did the front, someone did the back.
Monster.
Right? Yeah. And so it's kind of like the unity of like you being a double or triple threat as a designer is really cool. So maybe that's a positive spin on this, that your artistic expression can come in very uniquely if that's a talent you have.
Yeah. And there's certainly like designers out there, especially when you get in like illustration, like, man, clients are going to them for their specific thumbprint, their specific artistic value. Yeah. Like, I like the style and vibe you do. And like, yeah, there's no, I don't think of like black and white. Like, this is so subjectively gray, which I like this kind of question. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, there's no right answer. It's like, you know, whatever seems to work for you. I just know that if you're talking about like the professionalism of graphic design, well, you can't escape clients. You can't escape commercial viability, because that's why someone is giving you money, right?
Yeah.
So... But I
it's
love
a good
the
one. The gray one's pretty awesome there. All right, Jordan, you want to ask number two here?
Yeah, I want to ask number two here. Okay, let me see. Is the current emphasis on minimalist design and simplicity hindering creativity and originality in graphic design? Discuss whether the trend towards minimalism limits designers' ability to push boundaries and explore more complex and intricate designs. I love this.
God. Yeah, this is a good one. I did have to reread it a few times.
It hasn't gone away.
In the beginning.
This is interesting. No. I remember, yeah. Mikkel, I remember what, 6 or 7 years ago talking about minimal design. I don't even have to go back to that episode to know that I hated it. I was like, this is lame. This is shortcuts. This is abbreviated design. It's going to be redesigned so fastly, right? Or so quickly. But yeah. I guess in time it stayed, but it has evolved.
Like, it has. Yeah. And right? It has evolved.
We've been fans of when Chobani came out and everybody was like, we can use serif fonts again. Like, you know, it was kind of like,
yeah,
these little breaks. But I feel like this is a yes and no, because yes, we should be thinking about it and we should be thinking about not limiting our ability or taking the a shortcut to an end result. Cause I feel like sometimes that's what you see, but my fear is that there is such a lack of originality in branding right now in a lot of ways that there's so much copycatting because the minimal thing says you can only take it to 30% capacity when if it's a minimal design is the end result. That's a fraction of the time of trying, research, different layouts, different whatever. But when it's just so simple, isn't that limiting the expression and the chemistry and all of that fun stuff of building something?
I can see how it can. I can see how it can. And then on the other side, that form of minimal design and the less is more approach can be challenging in a creative sense altogether as well. So if you know you have to pull in aspects for elemental design to achieve 5 to 10 different messages, but you know you have to take it, scale it back and down to achieve that can have its creative challenges for sure. And therefore the stages of iterations and renditions of a design can really be useful to present, obtain feedback, where is it appropriate to cut?
Yeah.
Prioritizing the 10 messages down to 3, for sure.
Yeah.
But I would say they're not both challenging in consistent ways. However, at times, depending on the project, obtaining and solidifying a design with less is more can have just as many challenges as a badge design incorporating a shit ton of elements, for example.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, it's like everything in moderation, this included, right? It's a blanket question that holds complexity where it's like, if we're looking through like the scope of like web design right now versus like graphic design, like I think we're going to get different points of interest here. Obviously, like simplicity really works well in user navigation, but like through graphic design, like there are totally pros and cons, right? Pros, it's like a sense of clarity is crucial, right? But if you're doing like product packaging design, like a sense of clarity is like super important. But what if you're doing like a really vintage style whiskey design? We're like, well, maybe minimalism doesn't work. So like, you do start to like let the sort of industry influence a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think like overall, like, it's always good to kind of like, and it was something I always do with all my designs is I go way too hard and then I got to dial back. Right. But it always works better when you start to dial back. Cause like, again, the sense of clarity, I think then minimal designs like, they're kind of timeless, you know?
They age better.
More minimal designs age better. You see designs from the freaking 30s, 40s that are like, this looks like it's done now, you know? And so I think like current trends and, you know, maximizing stuff, like it can sometimes make things look dated in a short period. And I do think like in cleaner designs, when you start to get in like product or like production stuff, like they're way more efficient. Like for one, it's like easier. Like if you're going to do, like, I don't know, a bunch of like merchandising that's like going to be stamped or something, like it makes sense, like when you start to look at like the cost of size and printing and like scalability, they can adapt better to different mediums and applications. So like the benefits of minimalism, I think, makes sense. I think we lean so far where it became a trend of like, okay, you can only fucking boil things down to their simplicity before that room gets crowded, right? Because then you start to get in the cons of like lack of originality. Too many people, like you can only reinvent a triangle so many ways. And ultimately, like we all start to do the same designs. Like whenever I see these like really simple logos, you see them everywhere. Cause like, well, there's a million designers doing the same thing. We can only, again, use these simple shapes so often. And I think it does start to restrict creativity maybe a little bit. Cause I think when you focus on simplicity so much, I just think like you maybe shut out like the kind of like fun evolutionary discovery phase. Where you can get like, if you just kind of like no holds bar, like where can we find things, you know, complex ideas. I don't know. I feel like there's constraint when you're only putting yourself in this like minimalistic box.
Yeah.
And again, risk of stereotyping, dude, overuse. Like I see that. And I do the same thing. Like I start really easy. Like how can I do a couple geometric shapes, build some Legos, but all those marks are used. You cannot escape it. They're all done. You cannot. And like the people that kind of break through with a nice minimalist like logo, there's nothing better in my opinion. Like something I haven't seen. Like, how did you find this? It's so sick.
Yeah.
It's so sick. But it's
that's the genius. Hard. I think that's the genius part of it. And I take this question as more of a challenge. How can you do minimal for all of its advantages, right? Clarity, easy readability, scalability, you know, universal appeal. Like, but where do you inject those little bits of flavor and frosting in there to elevate it? To have its own personality that it stands out. There's like a really great lettuce and greens company called Plenty. I don't know if you guys have ever seen it.
Yeah, I have.
Right. Yeah. And it's in most like higher end grocery stores and specialty markets and stuff. And all it's literally baby spinach in a freaking plastic thing.
Oh,
right?
Dude, the packaging is nice.
But it's this, like, to me, the way they've incorporated with this, they were one of the first to do this, and I think they've been copied tremendously, but this personality filled simple and easy to read font for Plenty, and it's got flair, it's got personality, it's got a little like, hey, check me out, and yet it's easy to read, right? Nice and colorful, tells me it's healthy, tells me it's fun, tells me it's maybe high, it's gonna, don't expect a, you know, expect a high price here, it's not, ain't gonna be $1.99. So like, I think when you look at some of these examples of, they could still do check all the boxes and still be this clarity of a minimal. I love that. That to me is what I strive for, you know?
Strike the balance, right? Like that's again, in moderation. Like I think minimalism is crucial to any design. Like you can go so far where it's like, this is so complicated, or like,
oh,
you've added every ingredient or every color of the rainbow. Now we have brown. You know what I mean? Like we have something that is like so off-putting because it's so extreme. And so I do think like, at the end of the day, it's about striking the balance that aligns with like whatever the project's goals are, but still embracing simplicity, like if it enhances like communication. Mm-hmm. Like Plenty is a great example of like, they found a way to like, they found a really unique typeface. They're using colors that you don't see on the shelves, especially with like produce packaging. Like it's striking its balance, but it's so simple still.
Yeah.
It's like a good balance of like, yeah, they're letting probably the brand and the values dictate the packaging. And I think that should always live first. Whether or not you should like dive into minimalism, I think is like, if it makes sense, you know, as long as you don't lose the uniqueness. And I think that's the fear, right?
Yeah.
You go so far into simple shapes, like, well, you lose the uniqueness.
I think these questions are like purposely, they're purposely given to be so, you can't weigh one way or the other more. Like I'd love to ask it. Did you throw us these questions to like, it's just perfect. Cause I can't sway one side or the other. It's more of like, wow, this is like something to think about. And and this minimal thing has stayed because I feel of digital and screens and smaller real estate for the brand to live on in a lot of these cases. So it's still going to be
the pendulum swings, dude. Like I think we went so far. I think Google really pushed this because like when they put out like the Google Trends and like whatever the paper is what they called it. When so minimal, it changed everything into this like simple shapes only.
Yeah.
But we're definitely coming back a little bit in favor of, I think personality is like shining right now.
Yep.
The brands right now are getting crazy. Yeah. So the pendulum always swings.
Good. I just think that pendulum has been hanging out on one side for a little longer than the usual cycle, right?
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think like the digital UX UI is influencing that. Because you don't want a website that just, remember like the websites of the early 2000s, like 2010s, where it's just like, how do I even navigate? This is like realism and like everything is so hard to figure out. Yeah.
Yeah. And nothing should need an instruction manual to figure out in this world.
No, not for digital use. But or any isn't it interesting, anything. You see that now more so with creative studios that have launched their own website. They're being really like daring and risky with user experience and zoom in and out and the fancy JavaScript and the video cuts and all that.
Oh, you want to see something really cool? Check out my friends at Dayjob. I showed Jordan this site a while back, but was it just dayjob.com? I can't remember.
I think if you Google Dayjob design, you'll find it.
Talk about going back to the 90s. They have this just bullish confidence to make their site look like a Windows 95 desktop with little icons. And it's so sick. It just makes you want to spend so much time checking them out. Even if you're not a potential client or, you know, someone looking to hire them, it's just fun. So like, that's the kind of stuff I kind of go like, it's minimal.
That's pretty funny.
It's minimal.
Yeah.
It's doing the job. And they brought in a layer of personality and like character and like humor. That makes this kind of nostalgic a little bit too.
I've never seen anything like it. Do they even have literally they have the game Doom in their website incorporated?
Says like loading DSM. It's so funny.
Yeah, MS-DOS. Yeah.
I'm assuming somewhere in there's a dial-up sound from the old, you know, modems of the day. Like, you know, it has that kind of whole thing. But what a neat thing to look at and be inspired as to like what can you, you know, you want to be stand out, you want to be remembered. I think they did a fun job. And then their work is very similar to what we were saying. Sticks to a uncomplicated thing. But boy, do they put an overlay of fun and animation and kind of like vibrancy that feels cohesive, and it almost they have a really cool look that feels their own and everything's totally different, you know. So like
and they do a good job of contrast, right? Like they're gonna like that I don't know what it is, like a cider or something, it starts with an R, but like blank can, but like the color and the type choice is so interesting where it's like this is captivating and it's literally three elements, you know. But like that's where the contrast is. Like if you go minimalist, like find something to break it, find one thing to hit them with the impact.
Yeah, and go completely minimalist. Like strip it down to nothing. Like someone just has one that's like a UPC code on the front of a can of like some wellness drink, and that's it. And then there's all the legal and everything on the back, but it's like all silver, black UPC code on the front, and I'm just like, freaking brilliant! Like
it piques interest, right? And does it pique interest for people that are on the elderly end versus
not
us
at all,
that have
right?
some curiosity? So, I mean, having it reach and target demographics at opposite ends of the spectrum is an interesting topic too.
Yeah. I think another one we should kind of table too, like that whole idea of what you're saying about demographic, that's just a great overall kind of conversation to have, like, you know, because we just finished one that the client wanted something so Gen Z. I've had two that would have been in zone. And boy, I did not feel comfortable even attempting it until I did a ton of research on what exactly that means. What are they looking for? And it's a little contradicting in some ways too, because it's like, we want pure originality and blah, 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 and nothing copied. But then it's like, but we feel comfortable around people of the same background, beliefs, and whatever. So you're like, it was this weird how do you juggle that, right? So like let's do that. That would be a fun one down the road. I love that.
Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, all right. I love that type of topic. That'd be fun.
Perfect.
At least they weren't saying something like Apple.
Yeah. Oh no,
But Apple's a good example for the last topic, like their first logo to like the current logo. Like obviously the current logo is much more effective and it's much more minimal. Chris was like Newton under the tree.
Oh, totally, right? This woodcut like design.
Yeah, dude. like fine art. Like this will never actually work as a logo. It's beautiful.
Sorry, I should have been more specific. I was referring to those people that are looking for a
packaging
refresh or a brand new one, and they just want it to look Apple. Like the Apple experience.
I know. Through and that's through. The best.
Oh my gosh, bigjob.work has now got toasters flying on black background.
There you go.
For me.
See? It goes to a, like a, what do they call it?
Screensaver.
The screensaver, the after dark.
Yeah. Thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I haven't touched it for a while. That's just hilarious.
Come on.
How yeah. It's so that? Cool.
I'm gonna get them on the show.
Discussion topic / question.
Go for it.
How responsible are graphic designers for the impact and implications of the messages conveyed through their designs? Should they have the right to refuse projects that conflict with their personal values? This question delves into the ethical considerations that arise when designers are asked to create visuals that may be controversial or promote values they disagree with.
Mm.
Has this come up for you guys?
I'm pretty lucky. I would say the only time anything like this came up with, it was probably back when a lot of the cannabis stuff was like underground and everybody was like, I was almost afraid of like, what does that mean being attached to it? Cause it was still so in its infancy. And now you have packaging awards being presented to cannabis companies. It's like, can you be any more 180, you know? Uh-huh. So I haven't had anything like this. I would just say if it's questionably harmful, if it's questionably way against just like what I feel like would be like moral beliefs, I might not be the right person for you. Like that would be my answer, but I just haven't been hit with this.
Yeah, you know? That's interesting. And I think that that's a good line to draw. So in 2008,
yeah,
I was supporting an agency and we prepared a proposal package to obtain project for American Spirit Cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't pay me enough money to prepare a proposal for that now.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Same here.
Now that is writing health concerns, you know, to the death media. Well, yeah. Cannabis in my mind can't be seen that way. However, I can see how that can be a massive, heavy discussion that's heightened depending on the individual. Politically, you know, you've got people that are in the community that they know not to knock on your door and ask for anything red, to promote anything red, for example. We have supported a U.S.-based organization that builds and engineers tanks, missiles, robots, some high-tech machinery in the AI space for going to war.
Yeah. That's a tough one.
It is a tough one because...
And isn't that funny? It almost feels like that's more like, I get it. And then I hear the cigarette one and I go, absolutely not. Like, isn't it funny that that's our reaction?
Gray, yeah. And then there's like slashing the idea altogether. I am with you.
Yeah, it seems like it's an entirely personal decision when we start to talk about, like, we all have our own boundaries, personal values, like, that we abide by. So, like, there's limits of acceptance, and, like, we decide when we cross that line, right?
Yeah.
I like the idea, though, of, like, there is something interesting over, like, the client and designer relationship and, like, how ethics play into that role, because I do think it's shared, right? Like,
totally.
I think the process is so of design, graphic design, and like brand building, or any of these projects you're talking about, is so collaborative, where like oftentimes with numerous points of input, like some of them being from the people who are paying you. And so like it can get complicated with like these weird power dynamics and weird ethics, you know, because I've had like clients, for instance, like, hey, we gave you a mood board, like make something like this. And so like I'll try to use those influences, but still like create something ownable, but like, no, go back, like make something like this, very similar to this. And so I think like that's where like the shared responsibility involved both as a designer and client doesn't solely land on our shoulders. Like, how do you navigate that when you're like, okay, we're talking about IAP infringement now, but like something that feels uncomfortably close, you know, where does that sit? Like, do you have the right to cut the project? Like, yeah, of course. Like, designers have the right to do whatever they want that makes them feel comfortable for the most part, right? But like, that's where I think this question is kind of kinky, kind of interesting. And like, what are the kind of like responsibilities of both when you work on a project? Because I do think clients probably have their own, designers kind of bring their own to the table too. And like, how does that work with the project itself?
And let's define this too. We are self-employed decision makers. I've been in situations where I've been in creative departments where you don't know what your next project and client is going to be given to you by your art director or whatever else, right? Or in the same way, handing out. I remember being an art director and thinking about the person I was going to be let to be the design lead on any new client. We never got to the point where I was like, oh, he or she would be against this. It was more like, who's the right fit based on interests and hobbies and personality. So to the same way you would choose someone because they'd be a star with it, I think also you should have the opportunity to be like, I should not choose that person because I don't think they would actually be a right fit for it in the same way, you know?
100%.
But then I feel for the person that might not have that choice and is given something that is not, there could be a moral conflict in some way. I feel like there's got to be some kind of a compromise. It should not erupt to something incredibly terrible unless, like, if for some reason you're the only designer. Like, what is that's that's a odd situation, you know? I do know sometimes when I had to work on something that I really technically wasn't of interest in or found to just be not interesting, sometimes it brought out some of the unique work that I a whole other level that I never really got to try, because it was because like you can change it to a, like, well, let's make this an ultimate challenge. As long as no one's being harmed here, wouldn't it be kind of fun to test the waters in something else a little bit? Like, now I want to do a cannabis line. I think it would be incredible. Yeah. You know?
No, totally, man.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's a changing feeling. It's a changing feeling.
Yeah, because I do alcohol labels and beer labels all the time. It's like, that's not like benefiting people, really. I mean, like, I love it. I love the social connection of it. But like, that's not a grounds. Like, I don't feel bad. Like, that's something I'm into. I would maybe feel different about like creating, like, I don't know, a flavored vape that like looks like candy. Like, well, now, I personally feel like, I don't know if I want to gear towards that. I don't know if I want to go down that realm. Or even when, like, beers are like, we want to look like trick cereals. Like, one, I think it's kitschy, but also, like, I don't know if you want to, like, appeal to kids. Like, this feels wrong. And so, like, I feel totally fine in my rights to, like,
that's,
well, I'm
a great
not
one. But if it's manipulative in some way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Manipulation. Yeah. And there's so many sorts. There.
One of the first places I worked for right out of college, it only lasted like a year, but it was four owners, and they turned it, their design business fell, and they turned it more into a design business plus printer. So they had this huge print facility here in Southern California. They became the go-to place for all the marketing material for campaigns. And when it was election time,
got it.
And I'm talking even 15, 20 years ago when it wasn't as crazy as it is now, right? The two designers they had on staff, I remember the owner would call me and be like, hey man, like, someone just refused to work on this one. Do you know anybody that could work on this? Cause they just don't agree with this one candidate or this one proposition. And I was like, that's where it kind of made me think. It was like, oh my, wow. What would I have done in that situation? I guess, can I put that aside and just do it because it's my job and it's my commitment, you know? Especially if it's a small department.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
And that was, and now it's a whole other thing. Cause it'd be like, I think you'd have someone going like, they'd just draw a line and be like, absolutely not. And
to think about when you started out and you were at 40 an hour and you were hungry for work?
Oh yeah.
Versus now. I mean, that's
totally
another thing to consider.
Where are you on that, on your career?
In your career.
Yeah, I guess that's true. There is like privilege in just being able to say no to your, and or guided by your ethics.
Yes.
So it's like that. There's no way when I was younger a designer, I could have done that. Like, that I think takes time and experience. So like, there's privilege in that for sure. It's easier said than done.
Yeah.
But like, there's also blanket ethics. Like, you know, again, like no one wants to create like harmful designs, or like no one wants to like perpetuate stereotypes, or like do something that's like misleading information. Like, I think there's baseline stuff that we can agree on, like safeguarding user rights and, I don't know, informed consent, especially with the client and, you know, designer relationships. But
I think
this stuff, it's gray.
And you could spin this to a total positive and a unique benefit I think a lot of us can bring to our clients as a great asset, is the idea of like, if there's something you know about the industry that is quite different from the way they're approaching it, and it could be a red flag they're not seeing. Like, I love bringing up to a lot of my food and beverage companies a lot of the trends and the things that are happening to the benefit of the consumer. Like, I think there's a lot of cheap ingredients. And now I know through research and everything, if a client's going this route, I ask before we even start, can you send me the ingredient list? Because I'm a stickler for a lot of these things that are so misleading and so calculatingly put on there to deceive a person that something's healthy and it's not. So I love being able to bring a lot of that up to them at the very beginning, just to even see their openness. And if you're really going to put
were your point of contact on the client end, I would appreciate so much that you're asking that at the forefront.
It's been received wonderfully. In fact, the only that like it didn't really land with them was they were they basically said that is our plan in phase two. In phase one, that is too expensive of an ingredient. We have to use something, you know, it's a cheaper.
That makes sense. Yeah, gotcha.
So it's not really a moral thing, but I think a lot of times it's like, it is it is our knowledge and everything and what I feel like you could be valued for. And I think that's the one thing I always want to like add to the design part's a given, but what else can you do as the partner in this situation?
You know? Yeah, totally.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. All right. We got one more. Here it is. All right. Number four, should graphic designers be expected to work for free or accept low budget projects for exposure and portfolio building? Or is this practice exploitative? Discuss the issue of working for exposure and whether it devalues the profession while also considering the potential benefit of building a portfolio through free or low budget projects. We've tackled this a few times, but it's always so relevant, right? Yeah. It's always so relevant. I've changed my tune a little bit on this. I think I've told younger designers that if there is something, it's good to even just be in this position to have to consider. Like, that's a good thing, right? Something's been brought to you and maybe it's very little in price or whatever. There are some other ways to get paid. I get it. But know the red flags of someone just trying to take advantage of you. I guess there's no clear-cut way to specify if someone's doing that or not. But what do you guys think? Like, I think there's, it's not a never say never. It's not a never do this in my book.
Yeah. I'm in the same way. It's like, I feel like it's so easy to immediately say like, no, like don't work for free. I feel like when, you know, you're expected to work for free, like, yeah, you can start to exploit creatives. And I think like there are a lot of cons down that road, especially looking back as like someone who's done it for years now. I've worked in this industry, but like, dude, when I started, I did it all the time. You know, you just can't really help it. It's really hard not to. And I do think there is value of like, how do you get from student work portfolio to like actual tangible stuff? And that's like not that easy to do. And I didn't even go to school for design. So like my work was like just like fantasy stuff, you know? But when you do start to like work with clients and you do start to like, even if it's a family member or a friend, like you start to sharpen those skills. And I don't really know how else you do that. Like, I don't know if you can be charging, you know, $10,000 for a logo when you don't really know how the process works. How do you do it? Like, you kind of got to work your way up. From like someone who like, you got to practice. And, like, you got to understand in those moments, that's going to suck. And like, yeah, it feels like you're probably getting like exploited and you probably are, but also you're probably not giving your best work at that time. You're fucking figuring it out.
And so like, I've seen these packages that are promoted on Instagram accounts for brand identity packages specifically. And all of the components included and the offer of like up to 75% off guidelines at the very end once they've finalized the identity artwork. And it's shocking. These individuals are young. They're not going to school for design. They're obtaining a huge client base through their Instagram account and following. And they're learning as they go too. Is it impacting our careers where we're at, given that, well, I mean, I did go to school for this. I mean, remember Wes? He was a YouTube education individual. He mm-hmm. just utilized LinkedIn and YouTube like crazy to get
Jordan,
himself
self-taught.
Up to speed.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, totally self-taught. Yeah.
It's just, well, but it's funny. Ha ha. Sure. But now more than ever, that phrase applies to this career and where it can be in reality.
Yeah.
In with all of the tools that we have readily available, you can work it that way.
I give those
it
people credit.
It is affecting the educational departments all over, all around us.
I'm asked that all the time, and I'm like, is college still relevant? And I'm sitting here making a living as a college professor.
Yeah,
I go, absolutely not. It depends on, and you can't blanket it all together. You can't say all education is a equal value. There are highs and lows everywhere, right? But to the person, it's those people you were mentioning who are kind of giving maybe stuff away and starting a career mm-hmm. and were self-taught and are doing this all on social media, God bless them. Like I if they can make a living out of this, that means someone got off their ass and did the work. Is managing a lot of that stuff to land and prospect a client. I give someone like that a lot of credit. Now, do they feel like a threat? Maybe not. You know, maybe down the road they can be, and that's wonderful. I think there's plenty of work for everybody. But when going to the pure giving away, like not even charging or a huge discount kind of thing, I think what I've landed on is if I'm asked it, it's probably a no, right? Like at this point. Right. But what I will do is when I feel like it's something I can do and it's my initiative to do something for free, it's a perfect timing and there's probably some value in it for the long run for me. So like,
is that come with having been hired for a massive project at the start anyway?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like I recently went after someone who I knew was starting a product line and made it clear on all of their social channels and everything, millions of followers. I know they've got a budget. I did my typical thing of sending them everything with credentials and blah, 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 whatever. Crickets, right? Mm-hmm. I finally just said, what if I show them what the first stage of my process would be like and do a fictitious redesign for them? And that's me working for free basically, but
Are you exemplifying what you shared years ago on one of our episodes?
Like going after a dream
client? You stepped into this restaurant and you said, basically, here's what I can do for you.
Oh, yeah. And the literally drew up something right at the table with the owner and it became a client.
See, that's interesting.
I wish we heard about these stories more.
That's a moment. Yeah. That's a moment, I think, to take advantage of. Do you agree? Well, you know.
And again, it's like, do you work for free? It's like, yes and no, right? Like I personally, like if a client asks for spec work, it's a hard no, always. Yeah. If you come to me and want me to work for free, I'm not going to do it. But like, are there times when you should? Like potentially, yeah. Especially again, learning out, like what is the value? Maybe it's not monetary right now, but like maybe it's a personal project. Work for yourself, get some stuff out there. Like you did, like, is there skill development and like learning opportunities? Can you start to like sharpen these skills? And like, if you're kind of doing fantasy stuff anyway, like I was doing, like, do it for real clients and then show them. And then maybe that could get you a job. If not, that's okay. You still got stuff you can show. You know, that's still like opportunity there.
That's a good distinction there.
Also like find work for nonprofits. Like, okay, if you're going to work for free, like there's probably better clients than like some, you know, coffee shop that could pay but won't. Like, you know what I mean?
Some nobody who reaches out to you and says, I promise you big exposure. You know, it's like,
don't do it for exposure ever. Because if they have high exposure, if they can send millions of views your way, they have money. So don't ever, I think the exposure thing is like, that's an irk for me because it's not a reality. It doesn't mean anything.
No,
like,
where's the website that shows off all of the beautiful testimonials of that working?
Dude, but another one that I even do now, it's like, if I just have people that are close to me or like buddies or like people I love, trade collaborations. Like, is there something you can do? Like, you know, can you put your name as a sponsor on something if you do some work for free? But you know, it's in an industry where we want to hit more. Or like, I've done that for like beer festivals, putting my name out there in favor of like some photos I did for work.
Oh, because
like, that's great.
There's going to be 50 new clients there, right? There's going to be 50 potential 100%. New clients. Yeah. Yeah.
And I got great work from that stuff, you know, like I got to show my photos and my logos plastered everywhere. And like, that's still probably like a few thousand dollar sponsorship that I got for doing some photography work, which is cool. And same with like trade. I don't know. Are they your favorite brewery? Can you just can sometimes I do work for beer sometimes all the time. Like
It's the trade.
There's no right or wrong answer.
Is cool.
Yeah. So like there's opportunities.
Sometimes people aren't thinking of it enough. It's funny.
Well, it's because like it's such a quick like don't ever. I think it's always the like sort of senior designers like don't work for free, even though we all have. I think it's like such a
redefine
I don't know. Like how can you work for free? Like, are there opportunities? Because like there are cons too. It's like I do think like the other side of the fence is working for exposure or low pay. You know, it's like the idea of creative work is. I feel like we have to justify it a lot, and so like. It's constantly sort of perpetuating this thing of like, we have to keep our industry valuable, you know? And I think it can just lead to like a cycle of exploitations where like designers struggle to make a living and while clients benefit from our talent and creativity, like I do think we get taken advantage of quite often. Or often I had to like defend the price, even though it's like not crazy in any other industry, you don't have to do that. But for some reason, the creative, it's like, it's so subjective because we all charge different things and we're all in different places where, you know, so, but it's goose and gander. It's like impact on the industry. It's like, it's good when designers accept like higher pay, it's good for the entire industry. Cause that's like setting the precedence of like design is valuable. It costs money. It's not something you just get for beer trade. And
it's
also
our job to keep,
like,
it's our job to keep that alive. Like to keep that perception of this is valuable. This is a valuable player in your entire game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, it raises the overall standards in our industry. So I see like, as like a senior designer, like harping on like, don't work free. It's like a lot of that is because like, oh, I don't want you to devalue. Like we spent a long time. Everyone does like justifying how much to charge something. Cause when you start to realize like, it's not design, it's like taking a client from A to Z. It's like, it costs.
You have to be really careful with potential referrals because there may be that point of contact. Like, well, if you're with her long enough, she'll give you a massive discount towards the end. Like, don't be too turned off at the very beginning
disclaimer.
With her estimate. She'll
dude.
Don't forget that disclaimer, guys. If you dabble in this in any way, make sure the person you're dealing with, you say this is not to be shared with anybody else. Like
people do that
deals.
Shit anyway, though.
I
it's
know, but like
tough to police.
You know, I figured the best thing to do is here's another thing. Doing these things makes you more comfortable with asking for things you need and deserve. So putting that disclaimer in there and having a verbal conversation going, this is really not to be shared with anybody else. It's just between you and I. I would appreciate it if, you know, we don't talk about negotiations or what we exchange here for that, you know, and they'll get it.
That is a
good
point. And that can be an advantage to setting up this nice rapport in the beginning too.
Totally. Because the next one will be a real bill, right? It's a real bill coming to you.
Yeah, 100%.
And don't forget, too, there's also getting a percentage of it, being more of considered licensed part of that and doing the work up front and getting a percentage back in sales. I'm trying to do that with something right now because I think it would actually turn out to be a shit ton more than if I was to give them some value-based pricing up front. So why not try? I think that makes you look more business oriented than just the creative at hand.
Me
you
too.
Know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're not begging. You're not a beggar.
Yeah. And maybe they don't have the, and if you kind of got the feeling that maybe they don't have the upfront that would match the number you're thinking in your initial estimate, this could that could be a great thing to kind of think. And then they're like, oh, there's no risk really here. If it is a success, you know, Nick gets this paid, but it'd probably be a lot more than if you were to just put together a flat fee.
I
don't know.
Dude, totally. Yeah.
So take that, ChatGPT. We figured it. We figured you out. You didn't trick us on these questions.
What a fun exercise, Nick.
This was fun. This was great. I mean, all about artistic expression, minimalist design, your impact,
ethics.
And then how do you work for free or not? Like these are. And they're not new, but boy, are they relevant as far as right now. I think these were great ones. So well done there, guys. And we might do this one again, but we'd love for you guys to share any insight you might have on this. We'll be doing either an Instagram post or a Q&A that will be on the Spotify version of this one. We have some Q&A usually on there. So throw in some of your added value and advice on these topics. We'd love to hear from you and let us know of any new topic ideas as well. You can be ChatGPT as well. show the AI that, you know, we still get really good listener questions.
Yeah, for sure.
And thanks to a few of you, I put out a thing about a week or two ago to our Instagram family about what you'd like to see us do or change or evolve to in the podcast. So we got some really good stuff. I'll share it with you guys. I got a fun little spreadsheet to look at. And cool. You guys are giving us some good stuff to consider. Summer's that hard time, I think, for all of us to be a little bit on the schedule as usual. And we're all traveling and doing stuff. So thanks for being patient with us. And we'll definitely be back as soon as possible. And thanks for all the great feedback on Tom's show, The Next Level. He's really kicking ass on
dude,
that.
Dude, so good.
Yeah, and you guys really struck a chord with you guys, and he's doing episode 3 right now. So,
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
All right. Well, have a good rest of the week, guys, and this has been great. We'll talk to y'all soon.